Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast. I'm Sean Haney from realagriculture.com, and this is episode 12, where we're going to focus on an issue in agriculture that is plaguing farms across North America. It's succession planning. Boy, it's easy growing the crops, it's easy raising the livestock, but continually our farms across the continent are having a very, very difficult time transferring the farm business. Likely all of you know of a neighbor, a friend, maybe it's even your own family, where there's been a disastrous family farm succession battle. Family members not even talking to each other anymore. But you also likely know some successful ones, and it can happen. So in episode 12 of Mind Your Farm Business, which is brought to you by RBC Financial, I invited one of the best family farm succession coaches that I've ever heard speak, and that's Jolene Brown. Now, she's a farm wife from Iowa, the corn soybean farm. She also is a family farm consultant. And I know that you are absolutely going to love and enjoy the discussion and the truth that Jolene speaks. So sit back, enjoy, and let's have a discussion about family farm succession. Jolene, tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do.
Well, I am a real Farmer Brown, so that gives me a lot of legitimacy when I work in agriculture. I've been a professional speaker for about 30 years, and I specialize in transition planning and also bringing laughter and celebration to the people of agriculture. And then I've been sitting at those kitchen tables for quite a while, and the people in agriculture tell me what works and what doesn't when it comes to being a family business.
So today we're going to talk about family farm succession. I guess right off the top, we always hear about a lot of bad stories, farm business succession gone wrong. My first question off the top is, can family farm succession be a positive experience?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, it can actually be a lot of fun if we have certain prerequisites established. And some of those are, Sean, that they have to have a common goal to honor both the family and the business. And to get that across to them, I love to have them play dead one at a time around the kitchen table. So, Dad, you're dead, and you can't talk, and now what happens? And Mom, oh gosh, Mom just died. And then we get to the oldest son, and we get to the daughter and the daughters-in-law, and then we get to the other key employees. So one of the keys of having a positive experience is making it real and very realistic. The common goal is really key, that they want to honor the family, do the business right, and they'll find that out where they're at to begin with by playing dead. Then the second thing is, if you just break down the process into manageable pieces, that then they begin to see progress in the process. And when that takes place, then they go, oh yeah, I can handle this. And so it's real key that you have good advisors, or you understand that there are some steps to break this down to make sure it is manageable and that you do get it done. So to be positive, they've got to be on the same page. We have to find out if they really want the business to continue, and that's answered by both the asset owners and those wanting into the business. Second, why? Why are they doing this? And I usually hear, well, I'm going to die. Well, yeah, that's a pretty good motivator, so let's play dead and find out what would happen. And the third is, so when are you going to transition? Not just the labor, but the management and the leadership and the ownership. And, you know, Sean, I had this 80-year-old man say to me, you know, someday when I die, I ought to be turning something over to my boy. And I said, when you die, you're going to die, and your son is now 60. So we have to take a look at when they're going to transition. And then with whom? Who have they been teaching and trusting? Who has passed the test that they earn the right of a legacy business?
So, Jolene, all of those things really take honesty. And I guess it'd be very, very true. If there's really not true honesty in the conversation, it's bound to go off the rails very quickly.
Very much so. And to find out that honesty, what I have to do is to write it down, their words. And then I say, oh, so what you said isn't true? So you don't mean that, but you were just talking? Because if you mean that, then we follow it up with the action. And what I find is once we can get some of this weight off their shoulders and get through some of the emotion so we can get to the logic. Honesty is very much an important role on that. And because I understand so many people in agriculture and they know how I work, they better be ready for me because honesty has got to be up front. And with that honesty, though, can come a lot of relief, a celebration, and appreciation. It's not just the dreaded, oh no, now I got to say something or they'll never talk to me again. It is making sure that we're honoring both the family and the business.
Okay, so what are some other key steps that you really farm businesses have to enable? And really, when we say farm business, this is goes for any sort of family business, whether you're in retail or you're on a farm. They all face the same challenges. But what are some of the key strategies or tips that they have to engage in order to enable a successful transfer?
Well, the most important, in my opinion, is they have to make a conscious decision to operate as a business-first family, not a family-first business. And at least 98% of every phone call or email or conversation that I have comes from people operating as a family-first business. Let's not rock the boat. We don't want to make Dad mad. We don't want them to think we're greedy. And they continue to operate under hopes and assumptions and traditions. And sometimes that works, and I call that luck. But when we operate as a business-first family, it does not demean the family. It does not say the business is more important than the family. But what it says is we honor you, the family, so much, we better get this business right. And by doing it right, they actually have about 10 template tools in place so that the business can grow. It is worthy of transitioning. We've got the right people in the right job. We've got accountability, and then we begin to see progress. So one of the first keys is that conscious decision that, yes, we're going to operate this as the right kind of a business because we want to honor the family. And then the second key here is the fact that if it's not in writing, it does not exist. And so we've all heard the conversations about a contract. I think I've been saying that for a lot of years. But what I know is that all of the hopes and wishes and assumptions are great. But as a young man said to me last week, Jolene, I always thought my father's word was good. I found out that it wasn't. So a key is to make sure that things are in writing and that many times it is a legal document. And then the third is, you have to not count on a will to transition a business because wills are changed on a whim. And what I know is that if you don't have a buy-sell agreement, if you don't have these documents outside of the will, then there can be some real surprises after reading of the will that will break down the business and the family.
Yeah, that would be a dramatic situation.
Well, haven't you seen that happen? You and I all know family members who've never talk to each other again, not just for this generation, but generations down the road. And that's because they didn't deal with things when the times were good and have the tools to use in place when the times get tough. So they didn't have a very simple conflict management plan, or they didn't have codes of conduct, and different generations have different expectations. So what is the standard the farm is going to accept? And most importantly, they never had a leader who would hold him or herself to account and model how it should be done. You know, the people in agriculture are so very good at production. They know the weeds, the seeds, the breeds, the feeds, the money, the marketing. And it's the people that do the production. And when it comes not just to succession planning, but managing and leading a business, we are in the people business. Who has those skills? And by the way, I'm finding out, Sean, sometimes the best next leader of the business is the daughter-in-law. They usually die when they hear that because they're trying to keep her from owning anything. But what I find out is that daughter-in-law, not only did she come from a different school, not the habits and expectations, but she's scared to death of doing something wrong, so she does everything exactly right.
Can she act as very much as a mediator, kind of keep everybody on, try to keep everybody a bit on an even keel?
You know, she's not just a mediator. She is a leader, and part of that may be the need to mediate. But what I find is that this daughter-in-law, not only has she gone to a different school, not the one of habits, traditions, and assumptions, she is scared to death of doing something wrong, so she does everything exactly right. And let me give you a quick example. One of the businesses they work with had probably one of the best potential leaders in their daughter-in-law. And they all agreed this, and they all saw this, and she had demonstrated that she should be the next in line. And so they gave her the authority, and they gave her the support. Now, one of the first things she did within her first 2 weeks of being the leader on the business is She made them over $60,000 by firing one of their sons who was an alcoholic. And this young man certainly put the business in jeopardy, the safety of those in the... And as she said to everyone at the table, as a family, let's love him, let's support him, let's provide him resources. But please understand, a family business is not a place to rehabilitate a family member. Now, that is leadership, tough leadership, and there was no negotiation or mediation there. So you do have to have the right leader in place when you operate as a business first family. You have to have some things in writing, and then you've got to have those documents outside of the will.
Now, I know, Jolene, one of your keys to family farm succession is, it seems quite simple, but I want you to explain it, is use common courtesy. Isn't that just sort of expected? Why does that have to be made as a point?
Well, again, it comes back to the patterns and personalities that we have brought with us from Little On, and we've never made the transition. We've always treated them as we would treat family members, not as we treat worthy business employees and worthy business leaders. So common courtesy is reason thank you. It's the way you bang the door or roll your eyes, walk away from somebody. It's the cuss words that you use. And if you cannot do it in any other business, why do you think you can do it in a family business? So being grateful for what you have in order to be worthy of what you want is a real key when it comes to family business. And this means that we do have to use words and we have to use behaviors. Now, here's a real trick. You can't be really nice and kind and courteous to somebody one day and then bang them over the head the next day and expect to be respected, because respect comes from repeated behaviors. And so this is a real test, because we come with our growing up patterns, but we've got to make the transition. In a business, this is how we do it.
So are there some like sort of hard, fast rules? Like you mentioned the 80-year-old that still hadn't passed on or hadn't transferred his business to his 60-year-old son. Based on your travels across North America, is there like a key time for a farm business to transfer, or is it really every situation's different?
Well, the situations are all different, but certainly there are prerequisites before you transition ownership. And I've got six very specific ones that I would like to see met before you even consider gifting or selling to another person to become an owner. And one of them is they have to have some skin in the game. They have to have a personal commitment that this is their job of choice. And so they've got a real fire in the belly. And you can't tell it right away, but the way you find out is by a progression through labor. And now they manage something because they're really good at it, and they walk alongside you, and all of a sudden they begin to lead. And finally, at the pinnacle of your career senior generation, you get to work for them. Now, a lot of this has to do with the intent of the common goal, because you said you wanted the business to continue. And when can be like a 10 to 15 year period. Sometimes there's a death and it's right now, or a tragedy or a disability. And what I want to let the people know is you've got to have the right people in place or be willing to hire the right people to make sure that you can have the transition happen in a timely manner. One of my favorite conversations was a family was so excited because their son, who has a PhD, is coming back into the business. And I said, great, what is his PhD in? And they said, Hebrew. You know, I do like a biblically-based business, but how does this benefit the business? So they have to have an education. They have to have worked away from the farm. And then I've got to know that this is the fire in their belly. This is their job of choice. Now, I'm going to make a general statement here, and please understand there are exceptions. But I'm finding that in today's world, until I have somebody at about the age of 28, I cannot tell whether this is their job of choice. That they've ridden the rough times, that they've had some success times, that they've stepped up to being taught, that they have taught others, that they work well together, but this is really where they want to be, that there's a real fire in the belly. And then I have to make sure that they add value, that they can feel successful in what they do, that they feel worthy. So there's many prerequisites for ownership. Those are some of the basic ones.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about how to enable a successful transfer, but, you know, there is a lot of, as we talked about off the top of the podcast, there's a lot of stories out there that are not very, very good. So what are some of the mistakes that those people make? Where are some common sort of hookups that people do where it's like, oh, you're going down the wrong path? What are some of those mistakes?
Well, what I know is that the majority of people are really good people, and they want to do what's right. But since they don't know what right is, they don't do anything, and then we get into a heck of a mess. So here are some real common roadblocks and some pitfalls in family business, and I'm finding this first one to be very strong, and that is they let perfect be the enemy of really good. They want everything to be perfect before they sign a document. They want everything to be perfect before they make a decision. They want everything, and they end up doing nothing. It's the do-nothing plan. And, you know, after my presentations on family business, I often moderate a panel of key advisors who will be your accountants, your attorneys, your financial planners. And this one attorney said, this family came in three different times, documents in place. They were all excited, and then they came in to sign it, and they wouldn't sign it because what if? They wanted it to be the perfect guesses of what if. And so they did nothing, and she said, and 3 weeks later, Dad was in a farm accident and was killed, and nothing had been signed.
Oh, terrible.
So we cannot let perfect be the enemy of really good. Do the best of what you can with what you have now, and things can be changed along the way. So we've got to make sure that we get something done. And then another big problem is we've not taken care of the finances of the senior generation away from the business. In other words, if your livelihood and your living and your long-term living depends on income from this farm, you would just micromanage it to death because they're dinking with your security. You know, what they want to buy more land, but they pay me. They want to do this, but what if I need some assistance with my long-term care? Or they want to buy a tractor, but what about what I need? And they never will relinquish the power of ownership. Because they're dinking with your security. So what we have to make sure is we've got the senior generation financially secure away from the business. And since many in family business have not done this, I have to remind them, then you better be keeping some assets in your own name that cannot be collateralized by the business because you deserve that security. We've got to make sure that senior generation is financially secure. And then another big pitfall, Sean, is they want to keep it quiet. You know, we don't want anybody to know this, especially family members. So one of the questions I got came from a mom and dad. They were transitioning assets, and mom said, and we're gifting like crazy to those in the business, but if their brothers and sisters knew about this, they would be mad. Well, yeah. So you want them mad now, you want them mad later, you want to do some explaining, you want to justify, you want to, you know, let the rules of the game be known while you are alive. So, you know, what is in an individual's will is his or her own business unless the assets of that estate affect the continuation of the business, then it cannot be private anymore. You must let the rules of the game be known, and you cannot keep it quiet. Conversations and family business meetings must be held.
Yeah, one of the common things that I've seen now, I know of two situations like this where a deal was signed, a deal was agreed to, and then as we know, land has appreciated at a very, very accelerated rate. 10 years later or 5 years later, the land is worth a lot more than when the deal was signed, and Dad and Mom rip up the agreement and say, we're going to do it all over again.
Before they rip up the agreement, we better have an agreement. What are they going to do instead?
Yeah.
You know, again, then they're back to perfect and do-nothing plan. So if they rip it up, then unless there's another original copy somewhere, it's not valid. So, you know, as I've heard somebody say, I always thought my father's word was good. I found out it wasn't. And that's because, again, it wasn't in writing. And so, yes, land values appreciate, and now they're going down. Yes, there's a lot of risk in agriculture. How do we mitigate the risk? We must deal with the issues of fair and equal. If you want the business to continue and with whom, then how are you considering it through the eyes of those not in the business? And what are you doing to honor their life as well? So those are issues that must be addressed. You know, when emotion and logic collide, emotion is going to win. So I have to make sure that we deal with these emotional issues so that we can get to the logic. But what I find is if I can go back to those first four questions, Sean, if I can get answers to these questions, then how we do it becomes quite easy. Again, the questions were, do you really want this business to continue? Not I'll see or we'll give it a try, but yes, we want it to be a legacy business. Second, why? Why are you doing this? And the next generation, why do you want to continue it? Senior generation, why are you doing it? And third, so when is this going to transition? Not just labor, but management, leadership, and ownership. And we've got to address sweat equity if people have been working for very low market value in exchange for someday this will all be yours. The someday has to be annually, that we transition ownership annually, not just at the time of... And I will tell you, sometimes the next people to carry on a family business are not family members operating the business. And yes, if you want to continue ownership, but I like to have ownership by have those also involved in the business. And I like to have that percentage at least 51%, so they actually know the business.
Jolene, we could talk for hours. This is such an important discussion, but I think we'll wrap it up there. And I just want to thank you very much for joining us on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast, and we'll hope to talk to you again soon.
That would be great. I hope that they choose to honor the family and do the business right.
Wow, it was great to talk to Jolene about this topic. She has such a powerful, impactful message. One of the things that I took out of the discussion, in order to have a successful family farm succession discussion, you really have to come down to the intent first. What do we want to actually happen with this family farm business when this agreement is done? We have to have compassion, we have to have respect, and above all else, there has to be some willingness to communicate with each other and be honest. So good luck. Start that discussion today. Don't wait, as Jolene told us. Doing nothing is actually the worst thing you can possibly do. Now start that discussion today. It is time to make sure that family succession can be successful on your farm. Well, that's episode 12 of Mind Your Farm Business podcast. As I said, I'm Sean Haney from realagriculture.com. It was great for you to join us. Thank you to Jolene Brown, and also a special thank you to RBC Financial for being the sponsor of this podcast. Thank you very much.